He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
And good morning. This is Larry Menti in for Geraldo Rivera at 6 minutes after 10 o'clock on Memorial Day. Coming to you live from the NJDiet.com studio. The number to call in anytime is 1-866-GERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. I do hope you are enjoying your three-day weekend. I also hope you've taken some time to remember those who fought, those who died, who are fighting still and are willing to die, defending America, fighting for your freedom. And that's one of the things I want to talk about today. We get a lot on the plate. Don't worry about it. But this is what I want to start with. There is a deep disconnect in this country between the military and the civilian population, more so than ever before in our history. It used to be during the World Wars and during Vietnam, we all had skin in the game. We all had someone in our families or someone that we knew fighting overseas, serving our country. I remember during Vietnam being at a friend's house and having his mother and father and the rest of the family gathered around a radio to hear reports about what was happening in Vietnam, watching the news to find out because they had a son there, because there were other people in the neighborhood there. Now with the all-volunteer military, less than 1% of the United States population is serving right now. That is the lowest rate than before World War II. In Congress, there is the lowest rate of military service in history. Not only in years served, if you take all the members, but the number of members that have served in the military. So you have people in Congress now making decisions about military men and women, making decisions as to whether to declare war, whether to fund wars, who have never served, don't know what's required, don't know the sacrifice, only in stories and anecdotes. And we now have three consecutive commander-in-chiefs who have never served in active duty. So here's the problem with all that. Because so few of us know someone who has served, and I have not served. I'll say that up front. I have not served in the military. I am grateful for those who did serve before I was born that could make this world a safer place so I didn't have to. But I still feel guilt. So few of us know the torment, the upheaval that military families go through for us, that the country has slowly, steadily been losing its interest in the military, its empathy, and even its honor. I know we have these ceremonies. We have the military trot out at baseball games. We all say, I support the troops. But what does that mean? How? What do we do? It's just too easy to say, right? Do most of us really support the troops? There are still men and women serving in Iraq and Afghanistan right now. I know the war's supposed to be over. Apparently, the enemy didn't get that memo. Or the thousands, tens of thousands who are still over there serving in advisory roles, only in combat when necessary. They don't get any coverage anymore. ISIS dominates the headlines, not our men and women. We really don't care. 1-866-GERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. Let me give you some more details about the disconnect between the military and the civilian population. 80% of those in the military today are from families where a parent or a brother or sister served in the military. Think about that for a second. People are only joining the military now if they have someone close to them in the military. There's a whole new class that is rising in this country, the warrior class, the people who fight our wars. And when I say it's rising, I mean it's establishing itself as a class. The numbers themselves are diminishing. But for the first time, we really just have a class of people that are military and disconnected from the rest of us. The segregation between the warrior class can be traced on a map. Half of our military, 1.4 million, live in 5 states. Now, we get to see the military in New York for like Fleet Week or when a ship comes in, but we don't really rub elbows. This is more of a ceremonial thing. California, Virginia, Texas, North Carolina, and Georgia, that's where the military is based. And the military comes from just a handful of states, mostly in the South. Georgia, North Carolina, Texas, Florida. That's where our warriors come from. Think about that before you degregate the red states. Much of the country does not rub elbows with those who are fighting for us and those who serve life in isolation from the rest of the population. They live behind gates and military installations like Fort Dix in New Jersey. Now think about what all that means. Most of us were not touched by America's longest war in Afghanistan or the war in Iraq. So now the military and the men and women who serve in it are not considered our brothers and sisters, part of our families. They are our guard dogs. We send them out in the world when there is trouble to do duty that we would never lower ourselves to do. It's easy to think that they work for us. They're our servants. They're below us. They do our bidding, as if the military class is a class somewhere on the bottom rung, which is the furthest thing from the truth. Our men and women in uniform, our veterans, deserve a place of honor in society. And because there is this segregation, this disconnect, it is easy, it's way too easy to see them as something else, to see the military as the security guards. 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. I especially want to hear from veterans. Or those who are serving right now. I know the city itself is flooded with uniforms. I want to know if you feel this disconnect. If in the military you are so isolated from the civilian population that the civilian population can never know. And that there's more and more people that don't know. And if you feel that many of these ceremonies and much of the rhetoric that you're hearing is disingenuous. Paul from Queens, you're on 77 WABC.
Hey, Larry.
Hey, Paul.
God bless the troops that served and fell on this Memorial Day. Never forget them. And the veterans that served, never forget them. The bottom line is, it's the media, educational system, and everybody else that are not propping and giving our troops the credit. When Bush was in office, 8 years, every day you heard, our troops are dying, the war is losing, blah, blah, blah. We got the current administration. It's the current administration's fault for not telling media, because they're the lapdogs, not to protect our soldiers, to promote our soldiers, not to even to talk about our soldiers, because they're the ones who have to put up with this administration. I want to tell you, when the war went flipped over from one person to another, during Stephanopoulos, they would report every troop that died right away. When our troops died after, or when Obama came to office, they would wait a week or two to keep the troop marks down on the servicemen that died.
Well, Paul, I couldn't agree with you more. Yeah. I could not agree with you more. And I've done commentaries on this at PIX and now on MeTV. I do commentaries on this very topic. And you're right. There used to be, it was like some type of morbid telethon. Every single night we heard every single man or woman that died in Iraq or Afghanistan when George Bush was president. Every single night to remind us. And I think that was a good thing. if it wasn't so biased that it stopped the day that President Obama raised his hand to take the oath of office. It stopped. Now, we had more people die, quadruple the amount die in Afghanistan when he quadrupled the troops in Afghanistan. Did we hear about them? No. No, we didn't hear about them at all. It was absolutely a bias in the media and a disservice to our men and women to not herald their sacrifice purely for political reasons, purely because we didn't want to stain at all the legacy or the service of President Obama. And that's been going on for 8 years. But that's how it started. It started when we decided, the media decided, they were no longer going to cover the war in Iraq and Afghanistan like they did under George Bush. 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. Ellen from Brooklyn, you're on 77 WABC.
Hi, Larry. It's Ellen, and I'd like to say I agree. I think it's there is some disconnect. There's many people that don't feel the war is not very popular, and that was true in Vietnam. But what I'd like to say is I've seen veterans on the street from Vietnam vets since I was a kid, and I even see them now. And I would like to say I think we need a whole different model. I think we, the people of the United States, we need to form a we, the people, bank account. I mean, can you imagine 200 million people putting in $2 a week for a year? How many $5 a week? How many billions of dollars could we raise to buy the best property in the best places? And that includes New York.
Oh, I agree, Ellen. The homeless problem among, thanks for the call, and the homeless problem among the veterans is tragic and embarrassing and shameful. And the suicide rate among veterans is embarrassing and shameful and tragic. And we don't do enough about it. But that is all a result of this disconnect. That's why I think this topic is so important. There is an absolute disconnect from the warrior class to the rest of the civilian class. And please, I do want to hear from veterans. If they feel this, if they feel that over time, this disconnect between themselves and their brothers in arms has widened between what they did and how we feel about it and celebrate it and honor it. Maybe celebrate's the wrong word. Maybe honor it. And take care of them when they come home. When we don't have skin in the game, when we don't understand what they went through, it's easy not to care. And that's where we're at now. 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. This is Larry Menti in for Geraldo Rivera on 77 WABC. Your phone call next.
Geraldo, the truth behind the story for New York. Live, local, on it. 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
And this is Larry Menti in for Geraldo Rivera on 77 WABC. The time right now is coming up on 1027. Now it's 1027 exactly. We're live in the NJDiet.com studio, and we're talking about this disconnect between the military and the civilian population. You may not feel it because we're constantly praising the military, honoring them at ball games and different events and airports, applauding for them. But that doesn't translate into anything beyond there. It's superficial, which is why we have this problem with veteran homelessness and problems with the VA hospital and not caring or covering what's going on in Afghanistan or Iraq with our troops. They're still there, by the way. They didn't all come home. They didn't stop dying after President Obama came into office. They were still sacrificing. And on this Memorial Day, we forgot to memorialize them. 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. There is a warrior class. It's less than 1% of the people in this country. And then there's the rest of us. Joe from Inwood, you're on 77 WABC.
Hi, Larry. I'm a veteran. I was in the Navy during the Vietnam era.
Well, thanks, Joe. Thank you so much.
I was lucky I never got to go to fight and everything else. But when I think about these people, I think about them not just today. I try to, you know, I think about them on an often basis. There's a beautiful poem that's narrated by Tony LoBianco. It's called A Soldier Died Today. And that's happening every day all around the world in different parts where our people serve. And I just might have thought I'd mention that to you. And we are also having a parade up here in Inwood, Manhattan, which is from Dyckman Street up to Isham Street. And it runs up along Seaman Avenue. It ends up on Seaman Avenue in the park. And we put a wreath to all our veterans. And there's a few speeches made. And somebody sings a song. And we just let them know that we're still available. I'm from Post 581. And I was also in the reserves. And I think about it, what you said, the disconnect, you see it all the time. It's an unhappy thing.
Joe, let me ask you a question. So you have these ceremonies, you have these parades.
Right.
And it seems to me that it's mostly veterans and their families. And that number is diminishing and diminishing and diminishing. And so you have the civilian population that goes to the beach and could care less. And all you have is veterans celebrating themselves.
Well, a lot of the guys that used to march and used to celebrate these events, a lot of them have died, a lot of them moved away, and there's not a lot of young people picking up on this. I think that we have to reestablish pride in our country, pride in the reason that we have our freedoms, and also I can understand protests and other things, but we're living in a world that's getting more crowded and more crowded, and we have to defend our turf. And, you know, it's all about having a certain amount of pride. That doesn't mean you got to be waving that flag every 2 minutes. You just have to know that there's a reason why we enjoy the privilege of being Americans.
Joe, well said. Thank you so much for calling, and thank you for your service. I think this is an extremely important topic, and the diminishing not only of our military, but the diminishment of our caring about the military and the superficialness of the ceremonies that are going on today. And I think that it is because we have this voluntary military and all of the men and women are behind bases and don't mingle with us. We'll talk more about this when we come back. This is Larry Mente in for Geraldo on 77 WABC.
Live, local, on it, 866 Geraldo, where New York comes to talk, 77 WABC.
And this is Larry Mente in for Geraldo Rivera on 77 WABC. The number to call in anytime is 1-866-Geraldo, 1-866-437-2536. And on this Memorial Day, we are talking about the fact that we don't memorialize properly those who served, those who were willing to die, those who died for this country. Sure, you know, people are going to go in and say, hey, there was parades and there was this nice ceremony. Look around. First of all, the numbers are diminishing. Secondly, most of the people, as you look around, are either from military families or are veterans. The rest went shopping or went to the beach or somehow enjoyed this 3-day weekend. And that's okay. I don't want to make anybody feel guilty for enjoying the day, but take some time. This day was set aside for just this. And the problem is, and this has been documented, this is statistical, this is something the military is worried about. There is this widening disconnect between the military and the civilian population. At the same time, the military population is diminishing. It's at its lowest rate in numbers since before World War II. It's at its lowest rate in percentage of the country ever. And we have fewer people in Congress that served. We have 3 straight commander-in-chiefs who didn't serve. And this all has an effect. So we all say the right things. We all say we support the military. But we don't. We don't. It's all superficial. And until we start putting our hearts and our minds and our money where our mouths are, it doesn't really matter what we say. 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. John from Elizabeth, New Jersey, you're on 77 WABC.
Larry, what a pleasure. I'm a 73-year-old, 80% disabled Marine vet. And I want to use the sage words of my DI to expiate any guilt you felt about not serving. He set us down at one stage halfway through boot camp and told us, he says, if you don't make it in the Marines, he says, please commit suicide. He says, civilian life is hard. He says, a civilian must think for himself and support himself. He says, here, we care for you and take care of you. Of course, at the time, you know, they would kind of knocked us around a little to make us tough for combat. But, you know, that's what you call, caring for somebody. But later on, I was always taken care of. I had from high school through college athletic scholarships and the Marines. And when I got out and I had to start working for a living and taking care of myself. And also, Larry, one other thing. In my day, you would have gone. If they would have caught you wandering around single, you know, maybe having a beer in your college bar, they would have grabbed you up and sent you off.
No, I understand that, John. I completely understand that. And that's why I'm so grateful to people like you, to the generations that came before that understood the meaning of sacrifice and understood the meaning of service. I think that because of you and because of what you gave us, we have become insensitive to all of that and ungrateful to a point. I think we say the right things, but I don't think we really appreciate what we were given by the generations that came before us.
Well, and also when I was young, you know, you could go to the movie theater for a dime and see the Sands of Iwo Jima and stuff like that. And also, I'll be real frank, you know, when that was all coming down on me, they had that song, Please, Mr. Custer, I Don't Want to Go. And I was kind of thinking about that song. I mean, I wasn't exactly an eager beaver to, you know, do any of that, you know. But fortunately, it was an adventure and that I survived. And of course, it's nice to flip out a war story every now and then. But, hey, Larry, don't worry about it. If you would have been around at that time, you would have gone.
Oh, I absolutely would have gone. And John, thank you so much for your service. And I know you wear the scars of your service and have for the rest of your life, but you're so upbeat right now. And it's people like you that we're remembering today and those that serve with you that didn't survive. And thank you so much. It was an honor to talk to you. Danielle from Long Island, you're on 77 WABC.
Yes, good morning to you.
Good morning.
And thank you for your wise words and your inspiration and the gentleman who just called and all the people who have called in who have served our country. We owe them a tremendous debt.
Amen.
I think the gentleman, I believe he was from Inwood, and he said that the problem stems, you know, from the top down, that we aren't shown by our leader today great pride in our nation. I think what sticks out in my mind is every time you hear President Obama speak, he's denigrating this country. He's apologizing for things in our past. And the only thing that comes to my mind as he does that is, walk down the row after row of tombstones at Normandy, and you tell me what we have to apologize for. Are we asking the Germans today to apologize for their past, for the American and Allied force members who lie in graves there? When you walk down the grave sites at Arlington, what are you apologizing for, Mr. President? This is a great nation. We need to have that feeling again about our country and those members who have served this country with pride and courage.
Yeah, Danielle, thank you. I do think this comes from the top down, and I do think the military has made a mistake in building these bases and putting all of the men behind bars and their families. I mean, when I say behind bars, I mean the gates. You know, the gates are up, and there's all these bases around the country, and actually the military lives pretty well in these bases, and as John said a second ago, they're pretty well taken care of. But that's part of the problem too. When you say it comes from the top down, it's not just from the White House, it's from the brass, and they understand this, by the way. They have an image problem. And not that Americans don't love them. I mean, look at the polls. 80% love the military. But what, how does that translate? I mean, today, everything today is superficial. To those who make any effort, it's superficial. Most people aren't even making an effort to remember. Many people don't even know that we still have troops in Afghanistan and Iraq because the media does such a horrible job of covering that. Many people don't know we still have men and women in harm's way right now that we have to support. And the problem is that there are repercussions from this. Homeless veterans that are in suicides, the VA hospital scandal, the fact that people are still waiting to get into VA hospitals. People coming back from Afghanistan, not whole, either mentally or physically. And their families aren't taken care of the way they should. All of this, us not caring, does have an effect. 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. Joe from Rockaway, you're on 77 WABC.
Thank you, Larry. Good to talk to you. Larry, I'm a vet also. I served 37 and a half years in government in the Veterans Administration. And I just want to let your people know that the Veterans Administration is something that was responsible for the veterans' care and upheld the honor and dignity of the veteran. When it became Veterans Affairs, it became a cabinet post. And that's when it became a money purse for everybody else except the veterans.
Oh, great point, Joe. Great point. Keep going. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I'm so glad you called to say this.
Thank you. Thank you. I served, as I said, 37 and a half years in government. I've seen the changes. When I came out of the Army in 76, and the Veterans Administration was full of doctors and nurses who had served the military, were reservists, and they had the honor and dignity and the respect for the veteran. Today, we don't have that. Today, what we have in the Veterans Affairs are political appointees overseeing tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars, and that money is being squandered. It's not going to the veterans. It's used basically to support their political agendas, their personal agendas, and for their next promotion. Larry, it is a bad thing, what's going on. I was at the Veterans Hospital just a week ago for a physical exam. I hadn't had one in 2 years. Larry, a simple blood test, and that was it. No EKG, no blood work for prostate cancer. The doctor didn't even check my heart and lungs. How are you doing? Okay. Any complaints? No. Goodbye.
Yeah, Joe, it is horrible. And the fact that this whole problem, and thanks so much for calling, Joe. Thank you for your service. Thank you for your service to the country, not only in fighting a war, but then in coming back and helping other veterans. And thank you so much for calling, because what you just said is extremely important. Veterans Affairs is a political organization. When it used to be an organization made up of veterans for veterans, before it became a cabinet post and became bureaucratic and political, it was, when you were involved, Joe, it was a wonderful organization. Now it's a disaster. And it hasn't been fixed. They're getting people in and out quicker. It's becoming factory work, but they aren't properly caring for our veterans. I want to keep talking about this when we come back. This is Larry Mente in for Geraldo Rivera. Your phone call next at 1-866-437-2536, 1-866-Geraldo. This is Larry Mente on 77 WABC.
Live and local, the Tri-State's most important issues with Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
And this is Larry Mente in for Geraldo Rivera on 77 WABC. The number to call in is 1-866-Geraldo, 1-866-537-4326. Excuse me, 437-2536. I messed that up. 1-866-437-2536. 1-800-273-6. We're talking about the military and the disconnect between the military class or the warrior class in this country and the rest of the civilian population. And what that means is we don't honor our veterans the way that we should. Kevin from Queens, you're on 77 WABC.
Hi, Larry. Thank you for the conversation. It's a good one. I'm an Iraq veteran. I served for 10 years in two different branches. I was in Iraq the first year of the war. Actually, at one point when I was in Babylon, Geraldo was on my base at the same time. Larry, the main reason I wanted to call is you were talking about that we need to remind people more that there is a military, and you know a lot of times they are on the bases. What I do, Larry, is I go out and I do service work. I have come across some good people in the VA, certainly not perfect, that have done a lot to help me out, and I turn around and I help people out. I was at a school in Borough Park in Brooklyn on Friday, and the kids, seventh graders, and they were asking me about my service, and I explained to them. One great kid in the front row, so he looked at me and he says, "Were you afraid that you were going to die?" And I told him every day. And I also go to a veterans nursing home. I play cards with the old timers, World War II Korean vets. And I'm very much involved with an organization called Pets for Vets. And the organization, free of charge, gets a dog for a veteran for a company. And it's a great program.
Yeah, and Kevin, I see where you're going with this. And thank you so much for calling in. And thank you for your service in Iraq. And it's a great idea that veterans need to get out into the community to remind us what they have done and what they were willing to sacrifice. By the way, a couple of phone calls about George Bush. I know he was in the Air Guard. I meant that he was never called into active service, and I believe I said that. We'll be back in a moment on 77 WABC. This is Larry Menti in for Geraldo Rivera.
He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
It is now 11:06. On 77 WABC, this is Larry Menti in for Geraldo Rivera, coming to you live from the NJDiet.com studio. The number to call in is 1-866-GERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. Thanks so much to all the veterans who called in, and thanks for the conversation about how the military is being treated, not only by this administration, but by the public. And I want to get back to that in a moment. I'm going to switch up topics here, but look, I'm going to be on for 5 hours today. I'm also in for Curtis and Kuby. I'll be here with Dominic Carter in about an hour, so we'll have plenty of time to get back to that topic. But there's so much going on today, I do want to switch things up a little bit. Because the story about a police officer in New Orleans shot dead in his squad car is more than upsetting. And it brings back flashbacks of officers Rafael Ramos and Wenjian Liu, assassinated in their squad cars. NYPD officers assassinated in their squad cars. They were sitting in a housing project in the Bedford-Stuy section. That shooting, you'll remember, was the direct result of all the anti-cop rhetoric after police shootings in Ferguson and the arrest and death of Eric Garner in Staten Island. Some nut job was infected by the vile incendiary spewing of talking heads on cable news and came back up to Brooklyn and assassinated two police officers. And I guarantee you that after an investigation, this shooting in New Orleans was because of the recent coverage of police incidents in Baltimore and Cleveland and elsewhere and in South Carolina. This shooting in New Orleans is now getting half the coverage of those other incidents. Not even half the coverage. It's barely getting covered. Which only leads one to believe that most in the media and many in the country have become anti-cop. And the problem is they are creating a much bigger problem in this country by highlighting the handful of police incidents and over-covering them and ignoring the bigger problems of crime and poverty and ignoring the bigger problems of crime in society in general and ignoring all the good things that police officers do and completely forgetting the fact that we are all protected on a daily basis by these police officers. It is getting to the point where it's shameful. 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. Let me give you the details of this shooting in New Orleans that is eerily similar to the shootings of the two NYPD officers in December of last year. There's not a lot of, whole lot of details right now. This is still being investigated. But the officer, they're not sure if he was patrolling or sitting in his police car when he was shot and killed because they believe that his car moved after the shooting and came to a stop, rested at a stop at a curb. New Orleans police, as I said, are investigating this right now. They do not have a suspect. But this makes the 13th police officer killed in the line of duty this year by gunfire. And just like the assassinations of officers Ramos and Liu, this guy was patrolling in a bad area of town near a housing complex. He was a housing officer. 47 officers total have been killed in the line of duty from various accidents or attacks. And as I said, 13 from shooting. Why don't we know all of their names like we know Eric Garner, Michael Brown, and Freddie Gray? Now, I'm not saying there are not problems, but the cable news and most of the media has lost all perspective and any sense of balance in covering crime, and it all comes off as being anti-cop. The cops are now the bad guys, and the bad guys are the misunderstood heroes. Everything is topsy-turvy. Everybody forgets in these cases about a crime being broken. They only talk about the reaction. And this is a dangerous place to go. 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. Here are the results of such reporting on these police incidents. Police officers and departments necessarily back off on arrests and crime goes up. Also, fewer minority youth want to become police officers. So the lack of racial diversity in departments continue directly because of the image of police and the media coverage of police. Police officers become targets, like in New Orleans and like in Bed-Stuy, not only by protesters spurred by the TV cameras, but they become targets as they sit in their squad cars. We have better stop beating up on police because we are just making things worse. We're making this city and the rest of America unsafe. The increase in shootings, the increase in crime, of murders, can be directly connected to the bad press the police get and the change in policing policy that results. 1-866-437-2536. 1-866-HERALDO. You know, I thought of this, of the tragic police shooting in New Orleans when I read the story in the Post this morning about the jackasses at the Housing Authority in New York who were telling their employees to wear bright orange jackets so that they don't become the victims of trigger-happy cops. Are you kidding me? What ungrateful, inconsiderate, idiotic dolts at the Housing Authority. I don't have the stats in front of me, but I guarantee you that not one Housing Authority employee has ever been killed by a cop at a housing complex. And in fact, I guarantee you that hundreds, even thousands over the years have been attacked by gangbangers in those housing projects. And that they have been protected by police. What absolute idiots at the Housing Authority. Now, these are the higher-ups, the executives at the Housing Authority that handed down this order. Some of the Housing Authority workers are as outraged as you and I. They don't want to advertise who they are to criminals. Whoever came up with this dangerous, insulting, lame-brained idea at the Housing Authority needs to be fired for disrespecting the very men and women who protect their employees when they go out every single day. 1-866-437-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. Vinny from Massapequa, you're in 77 WABC.
Yeah, hi, how you doing?
Hey, Vinny.
I absolutely respect the cops and the job that they do. I don't think any of us are really capable of putting up what they put up with, you know. But I did see an altercation at the show, the air show at Jones Beach here in New York. And he was dealing with a drunk kid, about 20 years old. They were face-to-face, and this kid was really giving the cop a hard time in his face. And I turned around and just observed, and he got really, really nasty with me. He told me to keep moving, mind my own business, blah, 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 you know. And that one cop, maybe he's a bad one, I don't know, but that attitude of his was bad, you know, and I don't think it's the general public to be treated like that. You know?
No, Vinny, I agree with you. And cops sometimes are their own worst enemies. And I've said this before, that they also have to stop protecting bad cops. But
yes.
So this drunk kid that he was after, when did this happen?
It just happened Saturday, right up by the Central Mall on Jones Beach, right by the bathrooms there. You know?
And you thought he was being too rough?
I just thought that I was just looking, and he didn't like me, observing what was going on. He wanted me to keep moving. He told me twice, get moving, you know, and I did. I obeyed, but, you know, I don't think it was necessary for him to be so rude and arrogant about it, you know.
Yeah, but you realize, and I'm glad you realize that. Thanks for the call, Vinny. You realize that's one guy. You know, that's one guy. That's not the entire police force. And I think that sometimes we do what we accuse the police of doing. Not you, Vinny, but a lot of us do, and I've had the calls come in, do what we accuse the police of doing. We accuse the police of stereotyping. We accuse the police of profiling. And yet we do it to them. You get a bad cop, you get somebody that mouths off to you, you get somebody that doesn't treat you well, you decide all cops are bad. And that's what's happening in the media right now, by the way. Some police shootings, and some of them have been horrific. That one in South Carolina was absolutely horrific. And then all cops are bad. And then for some reason we have to hear that black lives don't matter. And that cops are the problem in these neighborhoods. Let me tell you something. If there were not cops in those neighborhoods patrolling those neighborhoods, there would be absolute chaos. And the law-abiding, the majority of the people in those communities, in the law-abiding communities, would be crying, would be screaming for more police protection. By the way, it was the people in those communities that have to live among criminals that wanted stop and frisk in the first place. And then when it worked, you had people in the communities then saying, hey, too much. Back off. Well, now what's happening? 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. Back with your phone call in a minute. This is Larry Menti in for Geraldo Rivera on 77 WABC.
New York's biggest issues right now. This is Geraldo, 77 WABC.
And this is Larry Menti in for Geraldo Rivera on 77 WABC. The number to get involved in the conversation anytime is 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. And as always, I am coming to you live from the NJDiet.com studio high above Madison Square Garden, or 17th floor, pretty high above. And we're talking about the anti-cop sentiment across the country. And the reason I wanted to talk about it, we don't have a lot of information about it yet because it just happened early this morning, but a cop was shot in his squad car, just like what happened here in Manhattan back in December of last year. A cop shot in his squad car while he's sitting outside a housing project. So they're still investigating, but it sounds like an assassination. And I will bet you anything that just like what happened here in Brooklyn, It has to do with the anti-police coverage and the over-coverage of every time there's a police shooting incident now. Ever since Ferguson, which was completely bogus, everything that we were told early on was not the story. And it's the case almost every time. What's being reported early on is never what happened. It's never the story. The extenuating circumstances, the breaking of the law, is never reported. It's just another out-of-control police. In most of the incidents, the incident in South Carolina was just ludicrous. But other than that one, you look at this case after case after case after case, and you find out, oh, that's the real story. But that led me to this article in the Post, which infuriates me. It's an exclusive by the Post. Nice job on this. They always seem to be able to get these inner memos. Workers who fix elevators in the city's housing projects have been ordered to wear bright orange vests by supervisors calling NYPD cops trigger happy. The edict came down from City Housing Authority brass after an officer fatally shot an unarmed man in the stairwell of a Brooklyn complex and other cops accidentally pulled a gun on a maintenance crew. Didn't shoot the maintenance crew, accidentally pulled a gun. The elevator workers were now basically told the reason was because of recent incidents where cops had pulled a gun on a caretaker and a supervisor on the roof of a housing project. So they said no one is going to get shot. Well, no one did get shot. But they also referred to the cop shooting and were told of a non-employee, we're doing this for your protection. Your lives are in jeopardy, and we don't want you to get hurt. One housing boss told the workers that the move was for their own good because cops are trigger happy. I would love to hear from a police officer about this or a former cop about this. How many times have you protected these workers in the housing complexes? And by the way, when you make them wear their ID and a bright orange jacket, which is what the edict is, you're making them stand out. It's much more likely they will be victimized by people living in the complex or the gangbangers who infect those complexes than by a police officer. But this is all because, I will tell you right now, perception has become reality. This is all because of the media coverage. The cop shot in his squad car in New Orleans gets squat coverage. Every shooting where a police officer pulls the trigger, that gets overcovered. That's a lead story. Because it is the story of the month. And it's been this way ever since Ferguson. Ralph from Manhattan, you're in 77 WABC.
Well, what's great about you is that you're able to point out when that caller gave you the instance of the cop acting irrationally and maybe inappropriately. You know, you're able to say, Larry, that this is wrong and this is not to be tolerated. And that's the difference when we're thinking logically and we're thinking on a case-by-case basis. I can love the cops and yet point out the rogue ones, the bad ones, the ones that are taking advantage of the badge and the gun. And that's what we need to do, because when we paint, Larry, with that broad brush, we're doing a disservice both to the cops, to the public. And one thing I'll disagree slightly with you. I don't want to chalk up the coverage of, you know, people just protesting and acting out against the cops and everything. I don't want to make that the cause of an unhinged individual like these rats that go and shoot these cops. They're nut jobs in this world, Larry. I'm going in a roundabout way. Nut jobs in this world, and we can't really chalk it up to media coverage. This is what makes them unhinged. I think they're nut jobs anyway, and they're going to act irrationally and savagely anyway, regardless of the coverage.
Right? Yeah, no, I agree with you. It just exacerbates it. When it's all over the place and it's over-covered, then it becomes a problem. And we've seen that over and over and over again. This is Larry Manti in for Geraldo Rivera on 77 WABC.
The sound of the city, Geraldo, where New York comes to talk, 77 WABC.
And this is Larry Manti in for Geraldo Rivera on 77 WABC. The number to call in if you want to get involved in the conversation is 1-866-GERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. Right now it is 11:36. And as always, coming to you live from the NJDiet.com studio. I haven't had a chance to talk about this on WABC, so I want to bring it up because it's still just lingering, festering. George Stephanopoulos, how is he still on the air? How can ABC justify at least not suspending him for withholding that he contributed $75,000 to the Clinton Foundation? Either you have a policy against such behavior or you don't. And if you do have a policy, and I happen to know they do, if you do have such a policy, how does it not apply to George Stephanopoulos, who came out and admitted, well, first he said $50,000. Now we find out it's $75,000. Who knows how much it really is? But when you don't enforce that policy, you not only lose credibility with the public, because I can't look at George Stephanopoulos the same way. I came to accept him. I can't believe at first that he got the This Week job on Sundays. I understood when he was hired as a political analyst. When he got the This Week job, I thought, oh, no. And then after Tim Russert died, God bless him, I started watching Stephanopoulos and I thought, oh, you know what? He's not that bad. But now everything he's done is suspect. And ABC has not only lost credibility with us, and I believe ABC has lost even more credibility than Stephanopoulos because I know many people were suspect about him anyway. But the news organization, if I'm working there, I have to be furious about the way they've handled this. Because the organization, ABC News, has now lost credibility. And how can ABC now reprimand anyone for backing a political candidate in the most transparent way, giving them money, if they do nothing about George Stephanopoulos? When I worked at NBC, they had a lawyer come and talk to us about all the things we cannot do. We weren't even allowed to put campaign signs. We weren't allowed to run for PTA, let alone give money. That was number one. And so many people have been suspended in the past for doing exactly this. And what they're saying is, we are making an exception for George Stephanopoulos. So Brian Williams is sitting at home suspended. And I believe what George Stephanopoulos did is far worse. Williams embellished stories to make himself look better. His lies were to make the scene more dramatic and his involvement more heroic. Yes, it was bad and it's sad, but it's not showing an absolute bias by giving money to a political operation, very much still an operation, very much a part of the political scene. How can he possibly cover anything about the 2016 campaign? How can he cover any politicians? How can he cover any issues in front of Congress? He's already pulled himself as moderator of a Republican debate in New Hampshire in February. He needs to pull himself to recuse himself from so much. He's going to be left doing cooking segments on Good Morning America. 1-866-GERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. But more than recusing himself, he needs to be suspended or fired. Can anyone possibly trust George Stephanopoulos again? Can you trust any interviews he does with any candidates? I think that he was able, it was such a dumb move too. I think he was able to put some distance between himself and his time as an operative in the Obama campaign and as part of the administration of the Obama White House. The Clinton White House. I think he's been able to put some separation between the two. But now this brings it all back. It reminds us that he is still very much involved with the Clintons. I know now that several media outlets have been going back over his past interviews and exposing a bias now. And there are times when he questioned journalists because they were aligned too closely with Republican candidates. Again, this is not going away. This is embarrassing for ABC. I know that they are hoping we are just going to forget the whole thing. They're counting on that. That's what they've already said. We are backing George Stephanopoulos. We accept his apology and taking responsibility. And they're leaving him on the air. But it's not going to be that easy. Because this was such a breach of trust. This was such a breach of ethics. It doesn't matter that the 35% of the people in the country that think he did nothing wrong because they're Democrats or because they believe in Hillary Clinton or because they think it was good that he's biased. That's not enough. Then go to cable news. Go to MSNBC. But you're an anchor on ABC News. You have been given a position of trust. And this is a breach of trust. And more importantly, it's a breach of ABC policy, and they've done nothing about it. So they've lost credibility too. 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. George from Summit, you're on 77 WABC.
Great show today, Larry. And
thank you, George.
You're doing a great job. Listen, this is just another example of the double standard set up by liberals and Democrats who play by one rule, which was created by Saul Alinsky, by any means necessary. They live their lives. They conduct themselves in their professional careers with a double standard. The rules don't apply to them. And if you look at Hillary, there's no way any Republican candidate, past, future, or present, would ever get away with one-tenth of what Hillary Clinton has gotten away with. And yes, she's criticized, but somehow it doesn't really affect them. And what it does is it poisons our civil society, Larry. From the military to our politics to news to our schools to our universities, every aspect of our culture is being slowly hollowed out from the inside out because it's an attack on the morals and the values which were derived by our founding fathers from Christianity and incorporated into the Constitution and the Bill of Rights in our country. Those values, I don't know which founding father said it, Larry, but a society cannot survive without men of virtue.
Yeah, and men of virtue not only to serve in the military, and men of virtue, George, not only to serve in office, but men of virtue to report the news. And look, I've had my own problems, and other people have had problems. But you know, I can forgive people that have problems in their personal life, and they become exposed. But when you mess with the news, when you mess with the one thing you were told you had to be sacrosanct about, that's when I have a huge problem. Mike from New Jersey, you're on 77 WABC.
Larry, good morning. Nice to speak with you. Let me say this. I am a liberal, but I must tell you, I listen to everything, I listen to everyone, and I make an informed decision. And I think that your point is well taken, but I also think that Fox News and the Republican candidate stations do the same thing when they ask their people softball questions. and I don't know whether money exchanged hands or not, but on the Republican side, but I do think that everybody's got to be a little bit more honest in their questioning of their candidate.
Yeah, no, I get you. And look, what you're saying is you everybody uses Fox News as an example. And I think that actually during the day they do a pretty good job. Not after Fox and Friends. I think Fox and Friends is definitely biased. And at night, Hannity gets ridiculous. And so but you know what they are. They don't pretend to be anything else but that. You know what you're getting when you go there. George Stephanopoulos was holding himself up as being objective. And that's why this was such a breach of faith. This was why this was such a breach of trust. Because it was ABC News. Now, if they're going to be like MSNBC, and Mike, if they're going to be a network that's going to be pro-political and pro-Clinton, then come out and say it. I don't think Fox News tries to hide what they are at night. I don't think MSNBC tries to hide what they are. But ABC News is being deceitful if they're saying George Stephanopoulos, what he believes and who he aligns himself with and the bias he has is okay going forward. 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. This is Larry Menti in for Geraldo Rivera on 77 WABC.
From New York, for New York, live, local, on it. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
And this is Larry Menti in for Geraldo Rivera on 77 WABC. The time right now is 11:54, coming to you live from the NJDiet.com studio. The number to call in is 1-866-HERALDO, 1-866-437-2536. We started off the show today, and by the way, I'm also in for Curtis Sliwa today, and I'll be joined by Dominic Carter, so we'll have a lot of time to talk about everything. And we started off the show today talking about Memorial Day and the fact that I don't believe that Memorial Day is being honored the way it should be, and that the veterans are not being honored the way they should be, and that this day now has just become a three-day holiday. I know it's not an original thought, but my problem is even the ceremonies we have are superficial. And so I want to get to Joe from New Jersey because he has a perfect example of how we fail to honor this day. Joe, you're on the air at 77 WABC.
Hi, Larry. How are you?
Hey, Joe.
Good. I just want to tell you quickly, I'm a lifelong Democrat who is no longer registered as a Democrat. My family's voted Democratic since 1900. I was Democrat of the Year in a town of 50,000 people one time. This morning, to celebrate Memorial Day, I get a phone call from the Democratic National Campaign Committee raising funds. That's all they can do to honor my father who got blown up in World War II, my uncle who got blown up in World War II, and scores of my friends that came back in body bags. And they have the audacity on one of the most solemn days in America to ask for money. That's all they can do. And if we don't stop the Democrat Islamo Nazis, now we are going down.
Yeah, Joe, I understand why you're upset, especially because of your family history. And God bless all the members of your family who gave their lives or gave part of themselves in the military. God bless everybody who served in the military and is listening right now. I don't even know what to say, because here you have a party that has made it one of its goals to diminish military power at the same time. So they're taking money away from the military and calling you to get money for themselves. And on this day, when we all should be taking a break from what we do just to honor the military and certainly not try to raise money for politics. Dominic Carter is up with me next as we both fill in for Curtis and Kuby on 77 WABC.
Hello, I am retired Marine Gunnery Sergeant Ryan Shane, and I would like to take a moment to share my story and tell you about DAV and the Curtis Sliwa Keep the Promise Challenge. In November 2004, I was assigned as the platoon sergeant to 2nd Platoon Bravo Company, 1st Battalion, 8th Marines, in support of Operation Phantom Fury. On the morning of November 9th, my platoon was tasked with providing a protective overwatch for Bravo Company's advance on our objective in the city of Fallujah. As we began receiving heavy machine gun fire, I identified a fellow Marine who had been wounded. I was able to carry that Marine to our casualty collection area for evacuation. Soon after, however, another Marine from Bravo Company was wounded and lay in the middle of a six-lane road. As I attempted to move my fellow Marine to safety, I was struck in my lower back by enemy machine gun fire. I had been shot six times and as a result suffered massive internal damage. While being evacuated from the battlefield, I didn't realize the extent of my wounds and how coping with the mental and physical damage I had sustained would truly be the greatest fight of my life. For over 90 years, DAV has been there to help veterans like myself, injured during their service to our country, live their lives with respect and dignity. I hope you will join me and Curtis to ensure DAV continues to be there to help our nation's heroes by participating in the Curtis Sliwa Keep the Promise Challenge. Please go to helpkeepthepromise.org to make a donation.